good morning.
Morning.
Good to be here again. Quite a while since I was here. I remember when it was. It was the 5th of February. Well, 6th of February. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, 5 months ago to the day. It was my tanning day. Anyhow, no surprises today if I tell you that the words of exhortation are based on Mark chapter 1. It would be appropriate to entitle it Follow Me. This was the invitation from Jesus to Simon and Andrew, and then to James and John. Two sets of Galilee fishermen brothers. The four heard the invitation of Jesus with their ears and responded immediately. In verse 18 it says that Simon and Andrew left their nets at once. And in verse 20 it says James and John left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and went and followed Jesus. To me, the responses from both sets of brothers seems to have a degree of urgency about it. And yet, in this chapter of Mark, chapter 1, we find it a chapter packed full of other action and activity. The classic temptation of our Lord, or temptations. There's confessing going on. There's repenting. There's baptizing. There's preaching. There's teaching. There's healing. And yet in verses 21 and 22 of Mark 1, Jesus stands up and stands out. The setting is the synagogue in Capernaum. His audience were amazed, verse 22 tells us. And then the reasons given for the amazement. Never a man taught like this man. He isn't like the scribes and Pharisees. He teaches with authority, also in verse 22. So why is there this vast contrast? The scribes and Pharisees were considered to be expert teachers and expertly qualified. Jesus had no apparent similar qualifications. Jesus was the best student and learner that has ever lived. And his teacher was God, his Father. And most were completely ignorant of these two important points. Having the best teacher doesn't necessarily make one a good learner, unless there is a willing attitude to be instructed. With Jesus, that was a given. God had said through Matthew, or in chapter 1, that one of the names of Jesus would be Emmanuel. Then in chapter 1 of Matthew, it goes on to explain to us what Emmanuel means. It says in verse 23 that it means God with us. Think about what that really means. Jesus was sent by God to show in human form what God's character was like. Jesus said, by seeing me, this was when an inquirer came to him and asking him what was God like. He said to him, by seeing me, you see God's character. And I thought about that. What a responsibility that was for Jesus. Matthew also in chapter 1 records that his name should also be called Jesus. And again, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 21, it says, or it gives the meaning of the name Jesus, he shall save people, I think it says in the Authorized, he shall save his people from their sins. So immediately Jesus is presented as uniquely different. He has no comparisons, and that's understandable, of course. I'm going to suggest to you another reason which makes him uniquely different. He walked the talk perfectly. He practiced what he preached perfectly. His insightful teaching was seen by clear demonstrations. Do what I do, and I find in this chapter, like so many other chapters of the Bible, how Jesus felt. His feeling towards people, all people. Like his Father, he wanted all to repent and be saved. And words like compassion and pity are so often used to describe his feeling toward all people, and that was irrespective of ethnicity or gender or social standing or status in this life's arrangements. And this is still challenging to us, at times anyway, like it would have been to those two sets of brothers that were now learning from him. What was really involved in follow me? To take up the cross really involved effort and cost in terms of sacrifice in this life. You are my disciples, said Jesus, to followers of all times, if you do what I ask. And incidentally, I've shown you how to do it. We've heard the same call. And although our method of hearing and our era of hearing is different, the call is just the same. Jesus still issues his invitation. So when we reflect on the example of Jesus, as we must be continually doing, we must surely be amazed by his words and actions. Jesus figuratively and literally touched the untouchable. He cured the incurable. He gave hope to the hopeless. He reached into every corner of society, irrespective of the challenges that involved. And the impact of his teaching actions has no parallels. And it meant often that he was swamped with people desirous of healing. And Mark chapter 1, I think, is a very good illustration of that. Because their need was great. And who would not want to listen, to see and to experience this man called Jesus? Especially if you were incurably sick from whatever disorder that might be. And Jesus, even in this chapter, has compassion on the multitudes and heals so many people. Yet it appears that a point is reached where Jesus is overwhelmed. Why is this? God's power is limitless. Jesus always used it appropriately. Perhaps the focus, the meaning of his name, had been becoming obscured. The mission of Jesus, as his name means, was to save people from their sins. The focus may have become more, I want physical and mental healing. And thus the big picture view may have been lost. All of humanity is sick and needs healing from sin. So back to us. And it's no different for us. We need healing too from sin. We don't offer any physical or mental solutions to humanity's vast array of complex problems in the terms of immediate healing. Our focus is on the big or the longer term view. Healing from sin by dying to it in the waters of baptism and rising to a new life in Christ. As a community, and thus as individuals, for the community is just the sum total of the individual parts. I think we've been quite good at teaching the ABC, if you like, of the gospel message. We can quite logically set it forth to make it coherent and relevant in the academic sort of sense. Where I don't think we are quite so good is what I would call making the gospel message come alive. And what I mean by that is taking people literally and figuratively into our hearts and our homes. Trying to show them better, we really believe what we teach. Of course, I'm talking generally. And the reason I say this is that it is my observation that the most effective results usually of teaching are those cases where the academic teaching has been supported by some practical help or example. It effectively means one shows they care, one is trying to put into action what one teaches and believes. I suppose it could be described in the terms of a personal touch, and a personal touch can be a very powerful reinforcer. When one looks at the model of Jesus, one would have to conclude that he cared for all, individually and as communities. He felt for them. A sheep without a shepherd. Their needs were desperate. Whatever way one looks at it. And if they found Jesus, their needs would be solved. Well, ultimately in the eternal sense. And so our motivation must always be more Jesus-like. Just one aspect to focus and practice. Be inclusive in word and action. Jesus was the most inclusive person to walk this planet. To follow him we must. That's the invitation we have accepted. My focus to this point has been to the person without that we're trying to bring in. Finally, a word about those within. Again, inclusivity should be the focus. Thinking the best, not the worst of brothers and sisters. Issues arise. We are human. Obvious. I'm going to suggest to you, whatever the issue might be, and there have been and are issues that are wide and varied. The issue is of secondary importance. The way we deal with the issue, and thus our brothers and sisters, should be the primary focus. Is love the fundamental principle being practiced always? The issue, no matter how big or important, can never be justification for neglecting or even disregarding the paramount principle of love. The example of Jesus rings so clearly in our ears, follow me. Even when he was totally right in thought and action, perfect before those accusing him falsely and instrumental in putting him to death, his last words were, Father, forgive them. Jesus sets the height or the bar of discipleship high. We must always endeavor to follow him faithfully and never look for excuses or justifications. The one who calls us never did.